You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Is there anything better than cracking open a cold beer and listening to your favorite podcasts? No, sir. And I'm here to tell you that the beer you should be cracking is one from our new sponsor, Circle Brewing, located in Austin, Texas at 2340 West Breaker Lane, Suite B. You can have a frosty one in their fabulous tap room where lots of seasonal specials await you, or you can get lots of their treats in the bottle or can at your local craft beer retailer. Try their award-winning Alibi Blonde or their diabolically rich Devil Knight Barrel Age Stout. They have so many solid choices, and they are the official sponsor of OneOfUs.net. Support Circle Brewing and support us, and we really need your support. There is no site without subscribers, and that depends on you. Please think about becoming a subscriber, because we cannot do this without you. The four different subscription tiers are there to give different flavors of bonus content, but we absolutely need your help, whether you sign up to give $2, $5, $10, or $25 a month. Don't be one of those people who loves something but won't lift a finger to keep it around. Help one of us and keep those podcasts coming.
Previously on the final days of Gotham.
So, Nick and Travis, I decided to do something unique today. I put a microchip into Alan's brain, and when I press this button, he'll immediately start liking Gotham. So, let's get ready.
Let me electrocute myself then to fix this.
You know what? I feel like we just want to get the Bruce and Selina stuff out of the way.
Yeah!
I mean, we could just ignore it entirely, to be honest.
Just like the show is. Yeah.
Oh, that he stitched Bruce's parents' faces on someone else's body.
That's fucking dark shit. Oh man, if that's the case, holy goddamn shit, Gotham.
I do now imagine that it's just people in Metropolis just surfing their phones, just looking for, like, Gotham man hashtags.
You're here to hear first. Gotham is the Florida of the DC universe.
I'm starting to get worried, because if they treat it like a one-night stand and that it doesn't revolve in a relationship, you know what's going to happen, right?
Pregnant?
Yes. That is exactly one of... If they don't treat it like a big storyline, it's just going to come about later, like, oh yeah, I'm pregnant now.
Gosh dang you, Nick. Gosh dang you, Nick. You know how to call these things too well.
I told you guys, ever since I came out of that Lazarus pit, I've been given a gift.
Are you sure it wasn't just electricity to the throat?
It seems to solve a lot of problems. I have some back issues. Can someone just electrocute me?
You didn't know the demon's head, as well as seeing the future, you also get to see general story structure and how plotting goes.
Yeah, but it's Gotham. Like, who would have thought? Like, out of all the dumb shit they do, like, they would go this far, this stupid, this fast.
No, that's the thing is, how is it that this is the one thing that's totally predictable about Gotham? You know,
well, that's like one of the things that is so predictable. Of like, oh, they didn't reference this for one full episode, even though it should have been a big deal. I know exactly what's gonna happen. The one time when they leave something alone and let it breathe for Gotham, that's when I'm like, oh, I know exactly what's coming now.
So as long as they're just doing stuff, at least you can't tell what's happening.
Yeah, because that's all they do. Let's just keep doing things and hope no one, like, catches on that we don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Look, if it's something doesn't give you powers, it's basically I know, like, what's going to happen to it.
Well, we are talking about the newest episode, 13 Stitches. Hey, it's another episode directed by Ben McKenzie, the guy playing Jim Gordon. So, that's cool.
Which explains a lot.
You know, and that's the thing is, like, I think Ben McKenzie, he's only done a few directing jobs on the show, but, you know, based on this episode, he's a decent director. Not great by any means.
At least he has some focus.
Well, I think that's the thing is that Ben McKenzie seems to be a very, you know, stripped down director. Like, he likes to really get things very simplified in terms of, like, visual style and action happening on screen, it seems like.
Also, it probably explains why Jim Gordon comes off as, like, the baddest of badasses in this episode.
Right?
Well, it's probably why Jim actually has a fight scene, not just punches the dude once and then beats him.
Dude, I swear to God, Eduardo must be made of, like, must have the Venom formula already inside him, because I'm like, how did he take a punch from Gordon? He's still standing.
What a monster.
No one's ever been able to do that before. No, for real, though.
No, you're probably right.
Like, being the last person that took a punch from Gordon and not only survived, but, like, actually took a couple punches. It was that one guy in season 2 that was a borderline
monster?
he was a monster, and he had, like, a mental problem. And/or superpowers.
So he's not condescending enough to know that he should go down.
Like, yes.
Eduardo having Venom would explain a lot what happens this fucking episode.
Oh yeah. No, so you know, as usual, let's just get Selina out of the way, because
God.
At least
the show does that for you.
Well, yeah, but at least this thing at least she has someone else to talk to other than Bruce, because that was starting to get really old after a while. So man, now
people aren't really digging the Bruce and Selina storyline. Who should we team them up with? Let's put Riddler with Bruce and Penguin with Selina.
Yeah,
and it worked out really, really well.
Let's pair off. Let's pair off and let's mediate some of the damage here.
Good old fashioned pair off.
So basically, they got Penguin has a problem where someone is sneaking into his treasury, and it's freaking Magpie, the craziest and most like useless villain, at least for this kind of story. I'm just like, okay, sure, why not,
guys? It's Magpie. For all you guys Magpie fans out there,
I have no idea.
I'm not a Magpie fan, but I know of the name of that. I'm like, of course he picked a fucking random bird to go after fucking Penguin.
I love how this show uses enemies that I've only seen in the Batman mythos in that stupid Beware the Batman cartoon, where they purposely didn't use the main villains and tried to use some of the other ones, and they used Professor Pig, the Toad guy, and Magpie.
The fact that you watch more than one episode of Beware the Batman is a fucking, like, almost want to applaud you sat through that shit.
It's so terrible. It's like, as bad as you think it is from the first episode, it gets so much worse.
Oh, I saw the episode where they did Professor Pig. I'm like, wow, did you guys ever read a comic book with Professor Pig?
Hey, it's Professor Pig. He's got a pig mask and a baseball bat.
And a British accent that doesn't really fit his character at all.
Yeah, like, that's basically Professor Pig. Like, what else do you
think? Man, I sure hope he has a real, you know, gives Batman a sure run for his money with that baseball bat.
Well, they were too afraid to do serial killers, but yeah, so this the actress playing Magpie here, her name is Sarah Shenkan, where apparently she was
Shenkan.
Yeah, she was in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel recently and a few other TV shows. Like, she's still an up and coming actress, and I mean, this doesn't really show off any acting skill from her. She just did like that. I'm a crazy girl.
Oh no, it shows off. It shows off she can act exactly like their Harley Quinn clone on this fucking show. Because
that's,
I
thought it was at first. I'm like, what is Harley Quinn doing here? And it's like, oh, it's just some other.
She's just bored. Doesn't feel like dealing with Jeremiah. Shit.
No, you want me to stab you again? Nah, I'm gonna do something else.
I honestly wanted that to be the plot twist where she just takes it off. It's like, yeah, I'm just kind of bored. Sometimes I go, it's like I'm moonlighting it as a different fucking job.
That would have been better, actually.
He doesn't pay the bills, amazing. Guys.
Yeah, so Penguin, of course, has to look for someone else to deal with the problem for him, and he decides, for some reason, to find Selina before that. And
actually, that's a pretty good, like, hey, I look for a thief, let me find a thief. Like,
yeah.
As stupid as Gotham could be, like, Penguin sometimes seems to know what the fuck he's doing.
Well, yeah, so they team up because it's like, look, you know, you killed Jeremiah, but now everyone's trying to kill you because you killed Jeremiah, because it's apparently No More Heroes, where you have to kill the number one assassin in the city. So,
funny enough, from what little I know of study prison, that's really, like, again, the show does sometimes have a glimmer of actual intelligence when she says, like, yeah, everyone wants to kill me to up the street cat. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how prison works sometimes. They go after the biggest bad just so they can look cooler.
Yeah, so they team up, and it's like, okay, fine, if I help you get Magpie, we'll split the treasury, like, 90-10 or something like that.
Yeah.
And so they get locked in the room where, you know, she's like, oh, you know, you better watch out, because she's got explosives rigged all around the room, and they have that big talk where, you know, actually, kind of a scene I kind of liked with Penguin, where he talks about why he actually, you know, Selina puts together, it's like, okay, so you're stockpiling on treasure and jewels and that stuff. You want to leave Gotham, don't you?
Yeah.
And it's, he has a great speech where he quotes Alexander the Great, where I'm just like, okay, that's pretty cool.
And it's just as eccentric as you expect from Penguin. And honestly, it's like, yeah, why wouldn't you try to leave if you had the fucking chance? Penguin does seem like the kind of person who would at least try.
I do love it, though. He's like, you know, I've done everything in Gotham, sometimes twice. And I'm just like, I'm pretty sure he means Azrael. And if that's the case, then yes, he murdered Azrael twice in the show.
Cases twice, oh yeah.
No, so that's great. But yeah, so that all leads up to where they find out they can leave the room because it's not explosives inside the room, technically. So
the room itself is not exploded.
Yeah.
Damn you, figure of speeches.
That seems like those are Riddler shtick too.
Yeah, pretty fucking much.
And then that part ends where they find Magpie because Penguin, because he's not an idiot, decided to booby trap his treasury just in case Magpie comes back and gets, you know, she gets a buckshot of shotgun in her stomach. So, well, that was a little anticlimactic, I'll say that, but
that's Gotham.
I did like how Selina freaked out too, like, man, wasn't the gut shot in her stomach enough of a punishment? Like, No, we needed a killer.
I mean, shit, she's gonna die anyway. Like,
she's the only one that knows the location of this whole room, and like, and that's the whole thing.
Well, also, like, a gunshot to the stomach—that's gonna be a really painful way to die. Like, honestly, it's probably just nice to her to put off her misery.
Well, yeah, that'd be nice, relatively.
The little camaraderie built between Penguin and Selena this episode was pretty fun. Like, I like when she first interacts with him is like, now what do you want? And he's like, it depends. What do the previous guys want? Because you cut off their fingers, and I kind of don't want that to happen to me.
Well, don't try to kill me. Okay, good. We got it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I will say that it made Selena slightly more interesting to put her with somebody else other than Bruce for a while. But, you know, it's still not a great segment, but it's... I do like that at least Gotham, it feels like, at this point now, you know, six episodes in, they're starting to figure out how to focus everything to a point. I'm not sure what the point is, but...
I love how the criminals kind of know the deal with each other, too, of like, well, how about I become your partner at 50-50, and then I'll get you out of here. 10% and I don't kill you when we reach the mainland. Deal!
I laugh my goddamn ass off, because I will take a deal with Penguin that doesn't immediately involve you shooting me as soon as it's over.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal for me.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, because again, they've established the villains long enough that everyone kind of knows what's going on. So it's like, it is good when you have these two kinds of, like, I guess Selena is technically kind of a villain, just having these conversations. Because yeah, they both know each other sucks. So it's like, how are you going to get past the next 10 seconds without shooting each other?
Well, it's like the last episode where Riddler immediately leaves and he knows that Penguin's going to turn on him.
Oh,
so
yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of. They both do, like, they know this chick. We'll see you next time.
There's a working relationship here. I like it. Also, is Penguin's limp getting progressively worse?
Well, that's the thing is, like, it looked like it was getting better the last two episodes, and then he starts to exaggerate even more this episode. I'm like,
I don't know. I thought I got shot by Jim Gordon again.
It's like his leg is even more of a 90 degree angle. Like, it's just like, maybe I can get squeezed 93 degree angle off of it.
Well, like, what position can I go where I still can
eventually
physically move?
His leg is going to be completely backwards in one scene, and I'm going to be like, what the fuck is happening? How are you even doing that?
And then the Gotham logo comes up.
No, but yep, so all that happened. Meanwhile, the episode actually starts with pretty much a Terminator chase sequence between Ed and Jim Gordon, because again, the Terminigma is after him in the beginning, but that gets resolved very quickly
easily.
Yeah, when Riddler almost kills Gordon, and then
he doesn't sleep, all he does is riddle. That's all he does.
I am a Riddler.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, they might as well have, honestly.
That would have been great if they had done that.
That would have been pretty awesome.
But yeah, he stops him with a defibrillator to the head, because apparently they just didn't kill him or, like, burn his skull out or something like that.
So let's break that scene down. He manages to run into an ambulance that's been there for some fucking reason, manages to turn on a defib. I thought he was just going to bash him in the head, which would make, you know, sense.
Yeah.
But he somehow turns it on and electrocutes him to the head. First of all, that's not how defibs work. Second of all, if you defib someone in the head, I'm pretty sure that would just blow their fucking eardrums out.
Yeah.
Well, you are not supposed to use a defib on a person unless it is absolutely necessary to start their heart back up.
Because it'll stop their heart.
Well, I mean, it does... There's a lot of damage done to the body when there's a lot of electricity run through it, so...
Apparently not. Apparently it solves all problems.
Yeah, apparently Riddler's been shot how many times now in this season alone? So it's like, okay, sure, fine. I mean, and I guess technically he is resurrected from the dead, so maybe that he has, like, a slight resistance
well,
to it.
Well, he's immortal at this fucking point. In the Gotham universe...
Being resurrected gives you electricity resistance. I love it.
I imagine Gotham exists in an alternate universe where humankind is just much more durable. Like everyone's has borderline kind of superpowers and healing factors.
Well, I mean, Frank Jeremiah survived, 17 stab wounds to the stomach, so...
Right. Yeah. Like, so everyone kind of has a level of invulnerability that, like even shots to the head aren't guaranteed kills now.
Yeah, Butch. Butch survived a shot to the head, so...
Nah, not really.
No, he did. Well, no, the first time he did, technically, so...
True. But again, Edward Nigma is at this point borderline immortal because he's been stabbed, shot, frozen multiple times. now electrocuted in the fucking head. Like, short of him being on fire, like, he's basically gone through all the elements.
Well, he never actually caught on fire when the hillbilly guys exploded. But, yeah, so. Yeah. But, yeah, so that happens, and they decide to tentatively team up because it's like, oh, we know that Eduardo is controlling you through the chip, and somehow we're going to convince everybody in the mainland that that this actually happened. Because
you did miss the best Riddler line of the episode when he wakes up after being electrocuted and talks to Jim. He's like, what did I do this time?
What did I do?
He tried to kill me. Oh, thank God.
Is that all? I did love that. I was like, long as I didn't do anything really bad.
I'm going to say I think Riddler had some of my favorite moments this whole episode. Like, just his lines.
He's been having my favorite moments the last 2-3 episodes that I hated, because I hate the Riddler, but I'm like, stop being entertaining.
But he's great.
He's awful, but he's being entertaining the last couple of episodes.
Riddler's kicking ass in these last couple episodes.
Yeah,
well, now they finally stopped him moping around as like, what is wrong with my brain? And now they actually gave him plot and direction, and it actually helped a lot.
When he shows up later from the suit from the Hurt Locker, I was like, yes! I'm into it.
Oh, that was great. Yeah, so that happens. They, they have their little chit chat. They meet up with Barbara later because, you know, they have to go to Barbara for some reason. But,
where are Barbara's assassin ladies?
I think they forgot.
Defending her territory.
They said, I need my people defending my territory. Where are they? They're never there. Right.
Defending his territory.
Well, if they were good assassins, you won't see them.
Yeah, also, is there no security? The soldiers just get in, no matter what.
I feel like we've
forgotten that. That there's supposed to be a whole cult of female assassins there.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, why that... Because, that didn't make any sense, where there's Eduardo and his mercenaries come up just like, oh, by the way, we just followed you here because we knew that, Barbara's your ex-fiance, whatever. It's like, well, I guess the League of Shadows is totally useless, but...
I need them out there defending my territory. From what? The military are right here! only have the one fucking bar!
Yeah, so this led to one of my favorite sequences where Ed has to pretend like he's still under control of Eduardo and he tries to kill Jim.
That was pretty awesome. He gives such a wink, I thought some people behind him were going to notice it.
You see,
the wink was so big.
Oh, it was so corny. I loved
that.
I love Jim playing along with it. Like, well, if you kill me, you'll never know about the evidence.
let's just pull that out of my ass.
You'll never know about the evidence we totally have. It'll be real bad.
I am so glad that went the way it did, because, but you got acting. Nothing. I mean, maybe I do.
Oh, I love it.
And then, I did love he calls him on the bluff, too. He's like, is that a risk you're willing to take? Yep. Kill him.
I really thought
that was going to go somewhere.
No,
plan B.
And then Riddler throws a butcher knife at one of the soldiers, and you're just like, oh, yeah.
Although not the main one, of course.
Yeah. Why would you...
I did want him to go oh shit, I was aiming for Eduardo. I was really off.
I'm surprised he didn't say that. I'm amazed.
My knife throwing skills aren't as good as my riddling skills.
My random butcher knife throwing skills that I pulled from the back?
Well, I went to go find a med kit, and the med kit was just full of more knives. I hate Gotham.
Yeah, pretty much.
Although it didn't have a resurrecting thing, so...
There's liquid Lazarus pit in a hypo needle.
I found this seed in here. I don't know if I should eat it or not.
That's a miracle seed!
Yeah, but it'll unlock your dark side, so don't do it.
Yeah, so they escape, which I love that trend in Gotham where there's a big shootout and they duck and run, roadie style out to the corner.
And they all just dodge bullets. Although, I wanted to mention one more thing about Barbara, too, here, because they have a
also immortal?
A little conversation between Jim and them was like, how much do you want, what do you want, what's the price for your help in this situation? And Barbara's like offended, like, can't I just want to help? And Jim looks at her like, no.
The same way we look at her, like...
Yeah pretty much.
Jim is Jim is the only one that is with the audience that has watched the previous seasons of Gotham. Yeah,
exactly.
No, just because we fucked that one time and you've been a little less crazy for 2 episodes, you think that I'm going to immediately trust you? No, that makes no sense. I have no idea why you're acting like this.
Yeah, no, so that was interesting to say in the least, but we'll get back to Barbara in a bit, but anyway.
What's it gonna take for me to get you to trust me at this point? I don't know. What's it gonna take for me to name your kid after me?
That's when Eduardo calls out, it's like, yeah, you better trust her. You ain't got no one else to trust. It's like, you literally just have her.
So, meanwhile, there's all the stuff in the police station happening, too, where, Harvey shows up because he has to show up at some point in this episode, and they're like, oh, well, you know, the military guys are starting to enact martial law, which maybe they should have waited to do that, you know, to do a full-on, like, rebellion to take over the police station, but, oh, well.
I loved how they were like, oh, our cells are getting overflow, sir. Like, okay, well, we'll kill three guys and then imprison all the, what 30 police then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the ratio was completely off. Like, you made your problem worse.
Yeah. So, and also the fact that apparently Alfred could figure out that these guys weren't actually proper military because of the tattoo on their arms, which at least it gave Alfred something to do. Where, although, did you guys have the problem, too? He could barely understand Alfred even more than usual. Or like,
it was fine.
I just felt like he was whispering a lot more this episode.
Well, his he was with his undercurrent of, like, I'm trying to be undercover here. What's it must be? I said, well, okay, what?
Yeah.
Alfred, what are you saying about the military guys?
I mean, Bruce is dumb enough to say that out loud.
Who's down like, well?
Oh, but I love it because it's like, my first thought was like, okay, Batman, at this point, you've kicked enough ass. How are you going to get you out of this situation? Oh, you're going to get locked up and then you got to do some stealthing. Nah, motherfucker, we're going to break the shit out of these soldiers.
Dude, the military guys put no effort into lying to anyone. Like, the level of like, hey, so where's the relief? Relief? Yeah,
they'll be
like,
here later.
We can't eat bullets, guys.
Like these people need medical
we can,
help.
But they don't taste good.
Oh, sure, that's coming for sure. Well, for realsies, pinky swear on it.
They're awful, but
they're, so, what's this? My phone's ringing. I think they're calling me right now.
Like even Bruce is like, well, I don't have to be the greatest detective yet to know that this is bullshit.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so they escape because they're about to throw Bruce and Alfred into a cell, but they apparently being a soldier means nothing in Gotham because these guys can easily kick their butts. You know, an 18-year-old kid and an old British dude. But
well, hey, Sean Pertwee's got some muscle behind him. He's been working out. Come on, man.
Oh, sure.
You put some respect on Mini Batman.
I mean, he can't fight a clown later, but that's, you know, that was totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does kind of pick and choose whenever the fuck he actually wants to beat the shit out of people.
Just like most of Gotham does, apparently. Yeah. So, but anyways, they all group together and they have to have the plan where apparently, again, another fine example of brain surgery where Lucius pulls out the chip from Riddler's head just super easily, apparently.
Yeah, just casual do brain surgery on a fucking dining room table without any sterilization.
Everyone watches.
That did lead to one of my favorite bits, too. Another great Riddler scene where he apparently accidentally presses the speech center of Riddler's brain and messes up with his words.
That was fun.
Oh, God. I don't even know where to begin with how much that doesn't work, how much that doesn't make sense, how much that would kill him.
I loved how Barbara was like, do it again.
I liked it.
What a wind-up toy, to which Lucius says, like, oh, that's razor, we can't play with the brain, and then immediately does it.
Again. Yeah.
Awesome. It's just,
yeah, so somehow that works, and they get the chip out, and Gordon's like, oh, we need to broadcast this to the mainland, which I can only imagine how the mainland will process the information, just like, huh, so apparently this lady gave orders to a programmed dude who does riddles to launch a rocket launcher at these people.
Just looking around, like, how do we run this? I don't know. Shit, we gotta make sure we don't look like crazy people.
I can't wait for them to try and explain this master plan.
Honestly, like, could you imagine hearing that, like, right now, like, when, in real life, you're like, so we're burying that place to the ground, right? Yeah, we are. Yeah, it's fucked up.
Well, and I love it, too, just a slight spoiler to what happens next, because Jim finally meets Eduardo, and Eduardo's just like, you know what? We were ready to come in and just raise this place to the ground, you know? We were ready to just roll in the whole military to destroy this place, but then you're like, oh, well, there's not everyone's a criminal here. Jeez.
Once we realized one man could save a bunch of people in here, like maybe Gotham is not worth just completely destroying, and we can't have that.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah, no, but I just, oh man. So yeah, apparently Bruce has his media outlets they're gonna give the chip information to, but the only problem is they don't have an antenna, and the only place with an antenna is the police station because everything
for
happens.
For some fucking reason.
Everything happens in the police station because they only built how many sets for the show, apparently?
Out of all of the places in Gotham, you don't have a news station?
Well,
does Gotham, is Gotham PD also
televisions? Like, there's no fucking TV here. We don't even know if they get cable.
But they
like,
have cell phones.
Well, like, I mean, Wayne Tower
radio station
might have an antenna, right?
The only radio station is a ham radio in the fucking GCPD. Like, like, out of all the places, I get you, like, I love the sequence in the GCPD, but I'm like, I think in my head, I'm like, oh, the only place is a heavy, like, the militarized zone of the police station. Like, fuck you guys.
Yeah, but there's also the caveat where it's like, oh, well, we have an ace of our sleeves because we have a prisoner that we want to exchange for Riddler, and it turns out it's Lee.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, I immediately started yelling, like, don't have him be right, don't have him be right. God fucking.
Yeah, no, I was kind of in that same way. I'm like, I thought we were, I mean, I knew she was going to have to come back, but I'm just like, I kind of wish she wouldn't, you know?
Yeah. At least they used her very sparingly and very well.
I think they learned.
What's, and what's she been doing for 3 months, Justin?
I don't know.
And I'm glad they rolled with that. Like, because again, the next entire sequence, like when they actually like bring her back and finish, I'm like, okay, you actually know what you're doing.
Yeah, it feels like it's one of those things where I guess they wanted to retcon her a little bit, just like, okay, we can't have her be completely still under the Tetch virus crazy, so we need to, you know, set her back as if she was like she was before, you know?
Well, I mean, like, it's not, I guess it could be worse. It could be she's like, I don't remember my name, but everything else I do remember.
Just like, what's his name in that one episode?
Yeah. So at least she got she's got her name down. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's more than most.
So they decide to meet in Haven because Jim's like, oh, we better meet at the place of the carnage so you can see what happened. Which I'm like, I'm pretty sure Eduardo's well aware of what he did there. Don't you worry.
And also doesn't give a shit because when he meets up, he goes, hey, what's up? Hi.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, make sure not to step on little Timmy over there.
Jeez.
I know.
You don't even know his name.
Yeah, so that breaks down into, admittedly, kind of a pretty cool fight scene between Eduardo and Jim. I mean, again, somehow Jim can punch him and Eduardo does not go down, which is pretty good. You know?
Terrifying.
Hey, man, when One Punch Man meets an enemy that doesn't die in one punch, you pay attention. And then you have immediately no fight scene. I expected something like at least more than like two throws. Like, I expected a fight scene, not a throwdown.
I mean, they had, again, compared to Gotham's usual trend for fight sequences, they had somewhat of a fight scene.
Actually, there. No. As much as I hate Gotham, sometimes when they have a fight scene, it's generally pretty good.
Yeah, but it's usually not, it's like not Jim, usually.
Jim was like, oh, someone finally worthy of my power.
It's been so long.
He maybe used 10% of my power.
It's almost like the first episode of One Punch Man when he fights the mole people, just like, finally, a real challenge!
Yes!
Oh, that is honestly my favorite episode of that series.
Fool, this isn't even my final Jim Gordon form.
Wait till I pull out a gun.
Behold, Golden Gordon!
I didn't even train at all this season.
Yeah, so meanwhile, that fight's happening, Ed decides, because of their whole harebrained scheme they have to get to the GCPD, that he's going to come in Hurt Locker style, like you said, Nick, to plant a bomb in there, which, of course, the problem is that the cops still think that he murdered 300 people, so, of course, they don't trust him either.
I mean, technically he did.
I mean, he
wasn't aware of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a show or they're just trying to put some sympathy on the character, but you ain't getting me to believe there's any sort of sympathy in Enigma, even though that he's controlled. That's not how that fucking
works.
Well,
I do feel like we've kind of forgotten that in order to cover up his other murder, he willingly killed an old woman by throwing her out a window.
Well, was he was he programmed then too? Because it seemed like he was acting.
Nope, that was 100% him.
Okay, I can't. It's hard to tell.
He remembers doing that.
I guess.
See, I wouldn't murder innocents, except for that one innocent woman, but we won't talk about her.
Look, let's face it. There's no shit way she survived 3 months in Gotham anyway. Like, she was clearly must have been a villain anyway.
No, she was a vampire.
She was probably eating people.
Like, she's a little old lady in a wheelchair in, like, a seventh-story apartment in Gotham.
That was seemingly untouched by anybody, so, yeah.
Look,
yeah.
We didn't see the body. She probably survived. It's Gotham.
No. She died, but we didn't see a body, so she's probably fine.
Well, I love it, too. I think, I forget, was it Harvey where he talks to Lee, and Lee's just like, you know, I can't remember anything that happened in the last 3 months, and Harvey's just like, oh, that's not the weirdest thing I've heard today, so, or something like that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So, yeah, freaking Riddler just busts in and goes, I need to buy some time because the fucking, the Scooby gang decides to come up with a fucking plan to help deal with the soldiers, and a really, really, like, well-orchestrated plan that requires everybody not dying immediately.
Yeah, which I picture that now, just like Jim Gordon's like, Fred, it's just like, all right, gang, listen up. You know, so right. We're like, split up, gang.
I did love how Bruce is kind of de facto in charge when Jim isn't there.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Like, let's roll out.
I mean,
well,
like,
who is it going
to
be?
To Harvey? Be fair, he has all the money and
I mean,
gadgets,
yes, so. It will be Harvey, but not this episode.
Although, here's the thing, too. is anyone going to be surprised when Bruce becomes Batman? Because now they've seen that he has all these gadgets and all this stuff. It's like,
no one should be able to not figure this out.
Again, it's
even
just
the
like,
villains.
Everyone in Gotham is just going to politely pretend they don't know who it is.
Everyone should be able to figure this out by this point.
Like someone's going to come and like, do you know that's Bruce Wayne? Yes, just let him pretend.
Yeah, let him think he do the thing.
No, Gordon will know. Gordon will know that Bruce Wayne is Batman, but everyone else is going to be like, because that's the whole thing of what made Batman interesting. It's like, yeah, that kid's around just chilling, but like most people don't really see him doing anything more than a few
fights.
But again,
real like Ed would figure it out.
Yeah, well, because Ed saw, like, you know, like what Ed, Lucius, Barbara, and all those people, when they're getting the plan ready, there's all that high-tech gear that Bruce is giving them to be able to get the plan done. It's like, yeah, I mean, are you going to be surprised? Surprised me he's using Gotham gear like that later on.
Like 3 years from now, he's going to get a trace, bat tracer on him and kind of go, wait a minute, I recognize this logo.
Right.
But again, Lucius was the one that actually made all that stuff, and everyone knows Lucius is like, hey, according to Ed, the second smartest person in Gotham.
I don't know.
I got it. Lucius Fox is Batman.
Hey, yeah, that more people would believe Lucius or Gordon is Batman than this fucking billionaire.
That might be a little harder to sell if you can see, you know, part of the face in the face mask, but...
Hey, man.
But anyway, so Riddler decides to trick these people with a riddle, because it's like, oh yeah, the code to open this bomb case is, you know, this complicated riddle about mice that have reproductive things, and it's like, how many children can they have in 1 year? And who
156.
Well, who
like
is it to solve it?
New Guinea mice or mouse or something.
Oh, it's like the palin.
It wasn't magpie mice, but it's something with an M.
It was like it was something with a P, wasn't it? Like the palindiner mice or whatever, or a palin or something.
Well, either way, let's call it Parvy, because he immediately was able to solve it within a minute.
And who decides to know something out of the one time in their life when they know the answer to a fucking riddle? It's goddamn Harvey Bullock.
Hey, Harvey is the best, my favorite character of the goddamn show.
Because
he got
in trouble one time in class and had to write a paper about it.
Hey, you'll never forget that shit.
I'm sure. And I love it just like, oh yeah, the answer is zero because that animal's freaking extinct.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, sorry. This is why I hate riddles. Fuck you. That is
fucking.
Like,
that's
are
such
you
a
serious
Riddler
right
thing.
Now? You give me a math problem, but it's a trick question. That is some bullshit. How am I supposed to interpret that you actually like want me to know that they're fucking extinct and not just do a fucking math problem?
Well, to be fair, like he's kind of stalling for time.
He's kind of like, if you see a bear, if you see a bear in the South Pole, what color is it? And it's like, oh, no. It's like, no, the bear, it's nothing. It doesn't exist. There's no polar bears in the South Pole.
I get that, but it's actually the solution, though. Like, it's actually just 000. Like, I get that, but that bothers me so much. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, I thought it was great. But yeah, so that,
I thought that was awesome.
Meanwhile, Bruce has to knock out the, you know, like, to, like, set up the whole contraption to get gas vented in so they can knock out the soldiers, which, yeah, so that seems like a lot of work. But anyways, he manages to take down that one dude, which... I love it, again, this whole universe where nobody can just fire a gun. They have to walk up to Bruce to be able to do stuff, but it gives it enough time.
He turns around and covers what I have to believe is, like, 7 yards of distance between him and this guy, and grabs the gun, and I was just like, okay, either he's the fastest man in the world.
He is the Flash now.
He covers so much ground without that guy taking a shot.
Okay, no, because the problem is that the arc, because this is, I guess, where I step in with choreography. What ended up happening was I don't know if they fucked it up or they just didn't care, but when he does the step, either the guy with the gun or Bruce is actually one or two steps too far away for the guy. He should have been able to react, but they wanted to have that fight scene. They screwed up where that guy with the gun is one or two steps too far away to make that feel realistic. Because he does come up and disarm him like you would disarm somebody, but there is too much of a space and too much of a time where he could have let off one shot.
No, and that's the thing, he's got the gun directly pointed at Bruce's chest when that's happening, too.
Okay, right. but again, all these, like...
He's, like, standing... The problem is the guy is standing the proper distance away to not get... Did not get the gun taken away from him. And he needs to be closer in order for us to buy it. But then again, if he's closer, we'd all be sitting here yelling at, why is he getting so close, the dumbass? So...
Again, we've seen it happen before when he was underground tied to a fucking chain to the fucking fence, and a bunch of guys with guns just walk up to him to say hi. Like, people in Gotham just walk up to you with guns. This is a normal thing.
Yeah. So, no, but he beats that dude. Riddler almost gets shot up, but because the Hurt Locker jacket.
I love he gets shot
so many
times.
He does get shot.
Well, I mean, yeah, he is shot.
Lit the fuck up.
I mean, thankfully, it's true. It's like, yeah, those things have lots of Kevlar in them. Although, from my experience watching the Hurt Locker, that doesn't mean you're totally bulletproof or, you know, invulnerable.
Okay, no, because the Hurt Locker used them to deal with explosions, and it'll help to a certain degree if you're maybe trying to run away, but you're not immortal. Explosions are different than bullets.
Yeah, and also, the first guy in the Hurt Locker died because of shrapnel coming from an explosion, so those things aren't...
Yeah, but that blew through the mask.
Yeah.
If they shot him in the face, he'd be dead.
Yeah, so that happens, but they managed to knock out the soldiers because they get the gas through the vents and that stuff. They save the day, hooray, kind of stuff like that. And, you know, someone must have explained to Harvey, like, oh, by the way, Riddler was telling the truth that he's actually being controlled, because somehow they don't immediately try to shoot or arrest the Riddler right after that. Just, okay.
They're detectives, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So they just let him kind of just sit there and without any supervision and just kind of fuck off.
Well, Gordon's there. If Gordon's not immediately trying to shoot or punch the Riddler, they got a plan.
Yeah, so that must just convince him, like, okay, Gordon figured something out. There must be a reason. But
yeah, but again, we have the feeling, like, with Penguin, where every other time he's in a shot, he tries to kill Gordon.
Yeah.
But that's Penguin, though. Riddler's never kind of been about that. He's either already planning to kill you, or he's just chilling.
Yeah. No, but meanwhile, because, I mean, the reason why Gordon's back there is because he won the fight with Eduardo, because he freaking pushed Eduardo onto a bar, into a rebar pole, pretty much.
I really hate... I see that.
Great.
This is random tangent. I really hate that idea, because I've seen it in Iron Fist. I've seen it in this show. The idea that it just push somebody and then they'll just go through, like, fucking 18 inches into rebar. Like, motherfucker. Like, short of, like, I hate that mentality, because, like, that's not how anything fucking works.
But it looks cool.
You made out of rubber.
He didn't just push him. Gordon kicked him with his One Punch Man powers.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot Gordon's a superhero.
No, it makes total sense when you realize Jim Gordon is a super soldier.
He is Batman. Like
if Captain America had kicked him and he went to the rebar, would you even question it?
I mean,
no.
Okay, you know what? Yes, you are correct. He is Captain America.
Right, and Jim Gordon doesn't miss leg day. I know that.
Yeah, so that happens, and they also rescue Lee because Lee manages to save herself from the soldiers and overpower and shoot him, which is kind of cool.
She's gonna have a line. I'm beginning to remember.
Yeah. So then they have a big chit chat back at the police station, and Barbara's all jealous, of course, because she's like, "We screwed last night. I don't know what he's doing with that girl." But so it turns out, in a bizarre twist,
I've been sane for a whole week. What does he want?
Yeah, really. I thought we were going to get back together.
I'm putting a lot of effort here.
I'm trying.
She probably
to make this
is,
work.
Honestly. She hasn't done anything nuts this whole season.
I haven't killed anybody in like 3 days.
In the itch.
Yeah, so.
Well, no, she did. She killed that soldier in that random gunfight when all of them missed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to split hairs, I guess.
Okay. She hasn't murdered anybody, quote, quote. So.
She just defended herself.
Yeah. No, but so this all leads to a really insane sequence when you finally see, they've been talking about, who's this Walker person? Walker, Walker, Walker. And we finally see it, and it's the girlfriend
it's
from...
It's Dexter's girlfriend.
Yep, Dexter's...
Or Helena G. Wells, or the Black Fairy from Once Upon a Time, or every villain...
Yeah, or Carmilla from Castlevania.
Or that chick from the one season of Spartacus no one watched.
Yeah. Yep, so
all right.
She shows up and is like, oh, I had so much hope for you, Eduardo, because she's got this affected accent that she's speaking the entire time.
Well, it's like she's, because her actress, I'm pretty sure, is English.
Yeah,
yeah, her actor is English, yeah.
And she's trying to suppress her, it sounds like she's trying to suppress her English accent and
That's
be American.
That's a bad idea.
It's one of those accents where it's American, but it's not from anywhere specific in America.
I think she's from the same America that Jada Pinkett Smith was from, because I kept thinking that, which is like, oh my darling, I think I'm going to talk like this.
It's Nowheresville, America. Like, your accent is American, but it's like not... It's not Chicago, it's not New York, it's not Midwest, it's not Southwest, it's nowhere. Where are you from?
Like, I'm assuming they're trying to do, like, a New England accent, but that doesn't sound like any...
Or a Welsh accent. Like, I feel like it's something around there, but again, like, I've heard her in other stuff. She kind of does sound like that, so it's probably just her regular voice.
Well, also, why not just have her be English?
Yeah.
Because when we heard the person on the radio, that person wasn't English.
She's been the chick on the radio the whole time. They've used that actress for the whole voice.
True, but it's like, it threw me off. I was like, oh, it's her? Like, you think I'd recognize her voice, but it's like, it must have been just so distorted through the fucking ham radio that it's like, I thought it was
she's
an old
been
woman.
Also, it's because she's been suppressing her accent the whole time.
I guess so.
Because that's why you never thought, like, oh, that sounds like the chick from the Castlevania series, because she's using her natural accent.
Yeah.
Like, And I don't know. I don't understand why. Like, why can't she be English? Like, because she's supposed to be American.
Yeah,
because
she's not American, dang it. I don't know.
Who knows? But, yeah.
Then so... get an American act. I don't understand what's happening.
I don't either.
It's Gotham. She has but
also, I love how she's not Waller. She's Walker.
Yeah.
It would have been
like
more interesting if they was
one letter away.
Yeah. I don't think they're going for a Suicide Squad thing at all.
That would have been more interesting, though, if it was Amanda Waller. I would have actually kind of been okay with that.
That would have made no sense,
so,
though.
So, guys, we have a great idea for the final season. We're going to use Amanda Waller for a big military coup thing. And we have it all written up. It's great. Yeah, you can't use Waller. Shit. Okay. Word replace. Okay. Walker Waller. Got it. Yeah, all right, we're good.
See, yeah, I hate that idea because that almost also references that they were using a white skinny woman as Waller.
Mm-hmm. You knew that if they were going to use Waller, they use a black skinny woman as well. Like, that's her new look.
As long as it's a black skinny woman, they're going to whitewash her. Because they make that's a white thing, skinny like... woman Waller, I'm walking out. I don't care how much I like the show. Bullshit. I like the black skinny Waller, let alone a white skinny Waller.
No, this is but just yeah. It's another prequel thing. It's like it's Waller's inspiration or whatever.
Ah,
like
see,
how Selina Kyle was inspired by Tabitha, sort of, kind of.
Yeah,
maybe with the whip. But the thing is, what they try to do is like, again, because Gotham's always trying to play catch up with itself. So during the fight scene with One Punch Man. Eduardo drops a few hints of, oh, by the way, just to ensure any for comic book fans that don't think I'm Bane, I was stuck in a fucking prison and Walker helped me the fuck out. It's like, yeah, the prison Bane was stuck in.
And also to like...
Which is named Painadura, I guess. Or,
I think so,
which was
yeah.
the title of the previous episode, not this one.
Which
was the episode in which Eduardo walks in.
Yeah.
Right.
No, but that's weird where they retcon all the stuff like, oh yeah, we used to be good friends back then too. Oh, I always knew you were trouble kind of thing. I'm just like, well, that seemed to be
you
a big...
reckless. You were reckless, Eduardo. You were always on the edge.
That was a complete 180, but...
You were reckless, even though you're supposed to be the greatest tactician Batman ever fights, but you're reckless.
Yeah, so, nope, she finds him and she gives him the Bane mask because apparently that will help him with his gaping chest wound.
So we spoke earlier that he might have had venom already in him. That guy has a fucking rebar through his fucking chest for like 8 hours.
Yeah, seriously, like
nighttime.
Literally, somebody was trying to, pick his body when Walker came in and shot that dude. So it's like, yeah, how long has he been sitting there bleeding out?
Oh, don't worry, my like soldier, you'll still be okay. Strange
maybe
will fix you up.
Maybe he's been taking low-level doses of it, but like now he's gonna need a full like the mask on the whole time because he's got a hole in his chest.
Actually, yeah, So he was on venom the whole time because it's like here's the. I expect, honestly, dude, they went full Tom Hardy.
Dude, there's Ooh. No way that a non-Venom-empowered person could stay conscious after a punch from Gordon.
Yeah, exactly.
Much less successive punches. I have to accept it as the canon reason, otherwise this whole show falls apart.
Yeah.
Although so that's kind of cold of Gordon, like, you used to be my best friend. I'm going to kick you through
some rebar.
And then leave you there, like,
Yeah, he totally left him there, too. He didn't have anyone come get the body or anything.
Why would he have cold anyone Gordon? Get the body?
I don't know, to make sure he was dead for one thing.
Yes, but also he kicked them into rebar, so
also evidence
he's dead.
Of like evidence like they're trying to get on like oh yeah, like this is the guy that's responsible for Haven. We won't need his body for evidence or anything like that.
Also to add to Jordan's collection room because you know he has them.
maybe Gordon's dark. Like I doubt the body will disappear.
Yeah, so that all happens, and I love how immediately he starts talking like Tom Hardy's Bane, just like, Jim Gordon!
Dude, I laughed my goddamn ass off. I had to look up Bane quotes like from Tom Hardy. You'll fight with the spirit of a young man, Bruce!
I'm Gotham's Reckoning!
Alright, we're gonna speak... Oh man, we're gonna have to change this voice modulator. Okay, one second. Give me a line read. You will tell me where those plans are, princess. Nope, wrong one. Okay. And,
fucking...
all right, I got
Batman.
It working,
no, wait,
but for some reason he's Welsh now? Kind of weird.
Yeah.
But,
it's the Bane stuff. It's like helium.
So he's a white guy with a Hispanic name, but also now has a Welsh accent.
Look, he's got every it. Version of Bane in one, okay? Like, fuck it. We're not taking any particular bait. Everyone.
I will give you my word as a Spaniard, as you can tell from my obvious accent.
Wait, Sean Connery?
Yeah, he's Sean Connery from Highlander. Yes. I'm also Egyptian.
No, seriously, the Bane voice is Sean Connery muffled. Like, anyone ever hear that?
Oh, it is. No, I agree. So that all happens because, and then it turns out that, Lee was also programmed by Doctor Strange because Waller, presses the button and Lee tries to kill Jim, and somehow that gets solved because he uses a taser on her neck, which, you know, defibrillator, taser, same amount of electricity, right?
No, he doesn't use a taser. He uses a fucking lamp.
Okay,
was
so,
that what it was? Because I thought, yeah. I couldn't see either. Nick said taser. I'm like, what?
No, he ripped Nick a taser. Fucking...
So, here's some more Nictradamus for you guys here. Is this a setup for, like, to have her be a continuous spy? Because, seriously, if it's not, I have a real critique about this remote-controlled assassin thing. Small criticism of the whole remote-controlled chipped assassin thing. Maybe, just maybe... Don't have your operatives announce they are going to murder the person they're going
to
murder.
I am here to kill you.
Man, that's a problem with them. That's been a problem with, like, shows in general. Because God forbid anyone silently tries to kill somebody.
Jim
they might
Gordon,
actually accomplish
I am here
their
to
goal.
Kill you in the next 3 seconds as I wait the proper reprogramming time. And killing commencing, and you are already gone.
No, dude, they're
damn.
Totally Android 19 in the Dragon Ball Z Abridged. It was like murder.exe fully online.
See, the problem is actually these, it's very high tech, but since it's Gotham, it's got this weird time nexus. There's a little bit of lag. it's not quite great yet.
We are experiencing a disconnection. Would you like to send a report? No, don't send a report. Sending a report. God damn it!
Restarting, updating Windows.
Updating
Windows. Because we can't updating have anyone actually kill Gordon.
Updating Lee 95.
Yep, so that all happens because reasons. So now I'm also.
Damn it, I knew I should have kept Lee Vista.
I'm assuming a lot of this also is just an excuse to keep Lee around, which, okay, so this is the part where we talk about the Nictradamus sequence because, gosh dang you, Nick, you said if we didn't see Barbara in one episode fully, what was going to happen?
Preggers.
Which... You gotta start, like, the recording. You gotta just start him saying that shit at the very beginning.
I am totally cool with the beginning of this episode just being a recording of me predicting it and just having the rest of this time just being, I was right.
I'm sure I will add that into the previously section. But, so, here's the thing,
I'm the smartest man on the Gotham podcast. I'm the Edward Enigma.
Oh, God.
Well,
sounds really pathetic when I say it out loud.
Would that make you Edward Nickma?
Nickma! My name is Nickma.
Nickma.
Oh, my God.
Edward Nickma. There you go.
You're welcome.
Among many nicknames Nick has received on these podcasts. But, but yeah, so Barbara, because she's jealous, also announces in the middle of the whole thing, oh, by the way, we had sex the other night and I'm pregnant. So, yep, that's a thing now.
Wow, such a dick thing to do and do it in front of everybody else, too.
Also, has it been, like, what, not even a week?
I have no idea how long it's been.
Well, they said it's been 3 months, so I'm like, wait a minute, how much time is passing between these episodes?
Well, it's 3 months since Lee, since the whole thing happened.
Right, since they had sex.
I thought it was, like, a week since Jim and them had sex, but maybe it's been longer?
Because, I mean, they must have some pretty, like, I guess the whole thing, like, the abortion people should really get on this. There's heartbeat in like 2 days, guys. Come on.
Also, Jim, what the fuck, man?
No protection.
Did you not have a condom? Yeah. What's happening
it's
here?
It's Gotham.
Latex is very useful in the post-apocalypse, Nick.
Yeah, resources are scarce, Nick. There's no food, there's no water, there's no condoms.
Jeez, rejigger some of the leather you're using for your outfits.
Don't worry,
God damn.
Use some of the drinking water for protection.
Oh man, yeah. So that
we had to use the latex for balloon animals.
Magpie stole the latex when she made her costume. There we go. That's good.
Yeah, that explains where it all went.
Jeez. So yeah, even Harvey, I love you. He's just like, congratulations. He just doesn't know how to process what just happened there.
Well, you didn't know Gotham is really religious. They practice abstinence there, so there's just a whole thing of, like, you know, like, there's just no, we don't talk about condoms at all. That's witchery. That's like VHS technology. We don't tolerate that level of witchcraft.
Yeah, that's witchery next to the actual witches.
Oh, holy shit, guys, we've broken it. Gotham exists in a pseudo-religious universe where they only accept certain levels of technology.
So it's like a pseudo-
but they're Amish.
Yes, yes, we've cracked it.
Actually, that explains the people trying to kill Poison Ivy, the guillotine. It also explains the
17th century London people. Yeah. They're the more extreme Amish.
They're the conservatives of Gotham.
Yes!
It explains the guillotine that happened.
Guys, I am so unreasonably excited about this.
It explains the resurrections because...
We finally cracked the code!
It only took how many seasons?
It took us 5 seasons!
That does make a lot of sense, episodes. Though. That's
we finally got it!
Wait, does that mean that the Walker's whole invasion is actually technically a hate crime?
Yes! They are.
No, it's a fucking crusade!
They're totally bigoted.
It's a crusade, guys.
It's the final crusade against the Gothamites.
Exactly. It's a crusade against the Gothamites. Fuck you guys.
That's why Jeremiah's whole new religion, he's the New Testament. Holy shit. Oh. We busted this thing wide open.
I hate Gotham so much.
I love it. I love it. It's great.
What were we talking about?
Speaking of Jeremiah, because that's the last thing that we see in this episode, is where, for some reason, Alfred's just on his own wandering through the streets of the rich people place, and he gets attacked by Jeremiah, who takes him back to the mansion, and he's like, well, I'm in need of a butler right now, and I got a big plan coming up, and he just smiles creepily at the camera, and then that's when the episode ends. So.
And that's
that also explains Jeremiah's obsession with Bruce. Mm-hmm. He's an extreme leftist in this town. He's got all his tech.
He's a progressive.
Yes. Progressive evil.
Exactly.
Those damn ultra-liberals.
God damn it.
The Waynes.
Because then
they were murdered.
Guys, it is scary how much this is making sense.
The Court of Owls was just, they were just their fucking, like, conservative leaders trying to keep everything, like, Protestant.
Oh, sure. Oh,
that's why they had to kill the Waynes.
Because you know owls mate for life.
That's why they had to kill the Waynes.
Oh my god!
I feel like I've gone insane because, like, I've never felt more insane because suddenly Gotham makes so much sense to me.
It's making more sense.
If it makes sense to me, I think that means that I'm crazy.
Okay, but how do we explain the Chech virus? Because I feel like there's almost something that's the last crux of the Chech virus. Like, how do we explain the blood virus?
The blood of Christ?
That's what I'm thinking. The blood of Christ makes people crazy. It purifies you, but if you're
the impure,
evil,
it brings out, like, it punishes the sinners, and according to Gotham, everyone's a sinner.
Gotham
is Gomorrah! Gotham is the city of Gomorrah! Holy shit!
There we go.
Okay.
Solved every problem
with Gotham. We have to end this episode here. We're just going to get more revelations.
Oh, we are.
We're going to get me started on Revelations.
Gotham is the greatest show on television.
We're going to find a way to say how the ending of this show is going to be the Book of Revelations or something like that. I don't know.
It's going
to
be the New Testament.
Well, I mean, it is like a final showdown where they all band together. They're obviously fighting something biblical.
They're fighting the end days. Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, it's the end of days, guys. Did anyone... I want to go back and watch if I can't see some brimstone raining from the sky.
I mean, you found a way to talk about how Toy Story is all a Jesus allegory and that such, so yeah.
Dude, that is even more explicit. They want you to know it's a Jesus allegory.
Yeah.
Want you to know that Andy is the New Testament and Sid is the Old.
Also, the Kingdom Hearts 3 world is actually hell.
Well, I mean, you could also consider it purgatory since it's the Nexus universe.
True.
Yeah. Because, like, it's neither there, and then they have no connection with their god and or kid.
Right.
It's a fucking kid's movie. Y'all think too much of this.
It's like if you feed a Muslim pork. It's that level of bad for toys.
Hey.
Jeez.
Also, what were we talking about?
Hey, I'm Muslim.
The Muslim in the room might have an objection to that.
Yeah, a little bit.
But anyway, the next
is that not how it works? I really don't know.
Oh no, it's not. I just thought it funny you made this random reference. I just happen to be Muslim.
But anyway, next episode, they've hinted at in the commercials. They're getting ready for this. It's the Ace Chemicals episode. That's the name of the next episode. So
I wonder what's gonna happen.
But he's already white.
It's probably going to be a situation where this is the full origin, and maybe they'll have the balls to finally call him
Dude,
Joker.
If he falls into an Ace Chemical plant and comes out with a red hood on, like, it's just in reverse.
I got a question. Did they do the Killing Joke plot already with Alfred?
Technically they shot Selina, so that was their Killing Joke.
Well, they shot Selina, and she got paralyzed,
But that's only part of the Killing Joke. The rest of it is trying
to make... I guess they could do the Jim Gordon thing, but switch out Alfred for Jim in the Killing Joke sort of thing?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I thought they did something like that, though.
I'm assuming, because that's the whole thing. Like, he's got the whole trying to drive Bruce insane. He's got the whole newspaper clippings with his parents' faces on it, and I'm assuming...
Well, Jeremiah, in one of the previous seasons, had ran Bruce through a whole, like, clown, like, a hall of mirrors sort of thing, and that kind of stuff.
Oh, no, that was...
No, that was Jerome. Yeah, that was Jerome.
Yeah.
But it's actually one of my problems with this, the overall season, is I expected the fucking new Joker to be more of a presence, but it feels like he just kind of isn't around until now, and it's like, I'm glad they're finally gonna
do it. It feels like they're playing a long con with Jeremiah. Like, he's supposed to be like have like a bigger plot that plays into where I guess him and Bane like meet up at some point, I'm assuming. So,
which I hope so, because it's like, I get the point. I'm like, what is Jeremiah doing when he's not on screen?
Just,
oh, here's my prediction. Leah, during her time of being working for the military, has been working with Jeremiah on another plan. And the rest of the plot is going to have to her getting her memory back, and it's going to lead her to Jeremiah.
Okay, so Nick, I want you to make one more prediction here. So,
yes.
Is Jim going to actually get back together with Barbara, and the show's going to pull one over us? Or is
Let me consult my crystal ball of bullshit.
Is it a crystal ball or crystal bowl?
I see that Jim and Barbara will have a reconciliation of some sort, but Barbara will die in childbirth, and that will then Lee and Gordon will be forced to raise the new Barbara Jr.
No. He's gonna, like, Lee's gonna die sacrificing, and then Barbara's gonna console him, they're gonna kiss again, and then they're gonna get together.
That's one of two options. Like, that's literally the only two options.
Well, let's see which one of us is right.
Yeah, let's see.
I'm willing to put money on it right now. $20 says Barbara's a dead woman.
Okay, I'll be on that. Yeah, $20 says Lee does.
All right, just
you want to get nuts? You want to get nuts? $2,000. Let's go.
Okay, fuck no. I don't like gossip, Alan. With your blow
your history of predictions and Nick's history of predictions, I would be cautious about this.
I don't know. I have a feeling that Barbara's gonna live.
We shall see.
You don't know how much money I have running on in Vegas on the Final Girls finale.
The Final Girls finale?
Don't even get me started on Top Chef. Totally got fucked last season.
I don't like Gotha to put $2,000 on the line. $20, I'll do that.
Well, okay, we gotta stop now because we're just gonna go down this rabbit hole and be crazy here. So, Nick, where can they find you on the internet?
Well, you can always find me. I wouldn't recommend it. I'm trying to get these, you know, chips out of people out of my brain right now in order to understand where the potato, all the long legs from the Hidden Spoon. But when I'm not doing that, you can find me at Nick Theis, Theyes, on Twitter and Facebook, or you can find me at all of our podcasting projects known as the UGO Podcast, Unapologetic Geek Out on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as Netflix and Kill, our Netflix and Kill review show. We just did one with Justin about Hardcore Henry. That was pretty fun.
Which that was fun, yeah.
That was a whole lot of fun, and we got some other fun stuff on the catalog there, as well as our Sin Against Evil podcast, Pod Against Evil. And Travis, where can they find you, habituating the curtain rod?
Well, they can find me on GothamProtestants.com.
GothamSingles.com.
Do you have a minute to talk about Jeremiah the Lord?
And the sins of Bruce Wayne.
Oh, that's great. And then, Alan, where can they find you?
They can find me on, if you go to Facebook and type in Midnight Chat Attack, you will find our Facebook page with embedded links to our Twitch channel, The Chat Attack. That's where you'll find me belligerently rambling about all sorts of things. So if you enjoy me randomly belligerently saying Gotham sucks every 5 minutes, there's hours of me saying that. So be sure to check that out.
Excellent. And yeah, you can find me here on oneofus.net, on this show, on The Eye on the Prize, which... Hey, Oscar night's coming up in 2 weeks, and we'll see how much of a disaster that is going to be.
That's going to be dope.
Oh, it's going to be great. Which, they finally reversed that decision to not show all the awards, so, whew, thank you. And then also...
to only you!
I know, only I care. It's my show, dang it, I get to talk about it. But anyways, Screener Squad, Breakfast Pub, all that stuff. I post this news stories on the social media pages. There you go. Okay, we got everything now. Anything else you guys want to say before we go?
May the body of Gordon. Amen.
Body of Gordon.